You're listening to a podcast from the South China Morning Post.
Let's start.
Number one, Huawei. Huawei is a Chinese technology company well known for their smartphones.
Huawei.
Well, the Trump administration going with the so-called nuclear option.
And I did this myself for the most part, not to use Huawei.
Together it's pronounced Huawei, as in Huawei.
Once more, they insisted Huawei's not in the pocket of China's
government. If this company were installing backdoors in every piece of equipment and they could monitor every bit of internet traffic everywhere and so forth, okay, that would be bad.
Huawei.
Because we think it's an unsafe security risk. It's a big security risk.
The problem is the administration has zero credibility. So when they say that, you think, well, yeah, maybe it's just President Trump being President Trump and being tough.
Huawei. According to official company history, the name comes from a slogan on a wall, 中华有为. Depending on whose translation you read, it could mean China promise or Chinese achievement. The company was started in 1987 in Shenzhen, across the border from Hong Kong. It has since become one of the world's biggest and most successful telecommunication companies. Before the United States, the name Huawei has come to mean something else. Its name is on a foreign entity list, but this week, it would appear it is now considered an enemy of the United States. Welcome to Inside China. My name is Mimi Liao, and this week you're going to hear more about Huawei and how a couple of days ago, the U.S. Department of Commerce, under the instruction of U.S. President Donald Trump, launched one of its most aggressive actions yet, directly targeting one of the most crucial components of Huawei's success. Now, there's a lot of moving parts in this story, especially the ongoing issue of Huawei's chief financial officer, Meng Wanzhou, arrested in Canada and facing extradition to the United States. That's a story that probably deserves its own podcast. My colleagues on the Tech Desk, China Desk, World Desk, and Business Desk have all been contributing to our in-depth coverage on this story for the past 2 years with the South China Morning Post. And there's a huge archive of stories, videos, and explainers available for you at scmp.com. This week, I want you to hear about the latest development in this story, which started on Monday when the U.S. Commerce Department declared any company that sells Huawei any products made anywhere with U.S. technology will require a license. The reality is, the U.S. Commerce Department is basically choking off Huawei's ability to acquire semiconductors developed or produced using U.S. technology. To talk about what that means, we've got our new technology editor for the South China Morning Post, John Artman, on the line. He's been covering technology and living in mainland China since 2008, and right now is based in our Beijing office. And we started by asking him about the phrase many analysts have used since Monday. In this ongoing tech war with Huawei, did the U.S. just deploy the nuclear option?
Well, it certainly does seem like it. It's difficult with the Trump administration, it's difficult to really get a sense of what their ultimate objectives are. As we've seen, you know, Trump does one thing and then says another, or says one thing and then does another. So whether or not, you know, how serious this actually is, I think is really kind of up in the air. Especially given the fact that there's an election upcoming and a Democratic presumptive candidate, Joe Biden, has made quite a few statements saying that he's looking to basically be a bit softer on China, try to repair that relationship a little bit. And Huawei might be part of that. I mean, we saw something very similar with ZTE early on in the Trump administration. At the last minute, you know, the Trump administration gave ZTE an out, and so they were able to continue to survive. Now, with Huawei, I mean, Huawei really, I mean, since like 2012, has really been kind of the whipping boy when it comes to national security and between the U.S. and China. I mean, you know, there's been quite a few deals that have been blocked by the U.S. Government outside of technology, considered part of national security. So, for example, when CNOOC, the one of the offshore oil companies, wanted to buy an offshore oil company in America, that was blocked on national security grounds. But Huawei has been under suspicion for many years, and you know, when I first started kind of following this story again back in like 2010, 2012, you know, it was very odd, because it felt like, you know, why is the U.S. government so fixated on a telecommunications company? And then, of course, you know, Edward Snowden releases all of his documents about, you know, what the CIA have been doing, what the NSA has been doing in terms of surveilling U.S. citizens and foreign citizens. And then it was kind of like, oh, okay, well, now we understand why, to a certain degree, probably, maybe, that, you know, the reason that the U.S. is so concerned about Huawei is because they're already doing it. And so I think that kind of taking that lens helps to clarify things a little bit. But it's also important to remember that no credible evidence has actually been made public as to why the United States government mistrusts Huawei so much. You know, every once in a while. So, for example, you know, Joe Rogan, one of his usual guests is an ex-CIA guy. He was on maybe about a year ago talking about Huawei, and his message was, yes, there are good reasons that the U.S. doesn't like Huawei, but he was not able to give any. And so, again, there's a lot of speculation about, you know, is there actually something there or isn't there? But I think also, you know, Huawei, especially over the last maybe year or year and a half, has also become a proxy for the tensions between the United States and China. And so this latest move is obviously very extreme. I think that what we're seeing right now in the Trump administration is more and more extreme measures against China in general. Some are speculating it's because they know they're going to lose in the next election. So they want to kind of implement things that the next president cannot walk back from. But it does seem, I mean, it's very difficult to see kind of where Huawei can go after this. You know, on the technology section here at SCMP, we're asking this question right now. We just published a piece a couple of days ago saying it's really not clear how things are gonna end up with this company.
So what is this going to do to Huawei as a company? What does it mean to cut off access to semiconductors for a company that is trying to compete in the global telecommunications industry?
Well, yeah. I mean, so, you know, this is the biggest problem with China and semiconductors and the United States is that, you know, most semiconductor technology is created in the United States these days. You know, you have the Taiwan TSMC. They don't actually design the chips, right? They make the chips. And so what you have in a lot of cases is American companies, they're designing the technology. So they have hardware and chip designers based in the States. And then they outsource the actual manufacturing to, at this point, it's usually Taiwanese companies. Now, the biggest issue is that China does not have an industry that is capable of, on the one, not only designing the chips, but then on the other hand, also manufacturing the chips. Ever since, you know, semiconductors have become part of the tech war between the U.S. and China, they have China. I think, you know, China's always wanted to be independent. You know, if you look at like food policy, for example, and kind of other kind of broader economic policies, a lot of it's built on this idea of independence, or at least kind of internal stability that can't really be affected by outside forces. And so with technology, that's also been a thing as well, but it wasn't, you know, completely necessary until, you know, maybe 2 years ago. And so for Huawei, I mean, the issue is that China has no capability to produce the kinds of semiconductors and other, you know, telecommunications equipment that Huawei is going to need. Now, you have to remember that Huawei makes their own telecommunications equipment, but the components of that are, it contains technology that is licensed by U.S. companies. And so with the latest, basically that means that Huawei can't use any of that. And it sets them back phenomenally. So I think the big question is, you know, number one, will there be a rollback? Is this kind of part of Trump's negotiation tactics for something else? And if things do get rolled back, if they are given a reprieve, let's say, will they be able to actually recover from that? So these are some big, big questions that I'm not sure I have any good answers for just yet.
If you are a regular visitor to the South China Morning Post website at SCMP.com, by now you would have noticed some changes we've brought in. Along with other media outlets around the world, we are adapting our business model to deal with the changing media environment. You will no doubt notice that now you will get access to the first few articles for free, and then you'll be asked to subscribe. That doesn't change your access to our podcast, but subscribing does help us continue to bring you high-quality journalism 24 hours a day from across China and around the world. Cutting off access to semiconductors is what an economist might call a supply-side measure, but there was something else the U.S. did back in March this year. But there was something else the U.S. did back in March this year that was very much a demand-side action. That is when Donald Trump signed legislation banning all U.S. telecommunication carriers from purchasing network equipment from companies considered to be a national security threat. Everyone knew what that meant. Huawei and ZTE. The reality was that American telecom companies operating outside of the big cities were forced to rip out Huawei gear and replace it with American or European parts. So what is it about Huawei that so upsets the Trump administration?
So the thing is, you got to remember, and I think this is one of the reasons why the U.S. is so concerned about Huawei in particular, is that in the telecommunications equipment market, they are extremely competitive. They've had amazing success outside of China. In fact, both Huawei and ZTE, some of their first successes and really kind of how they built their companies was inside the international markets. When Huawei and ZTE first got started, there wasn't a lot of demand in China. And there was also kind of a belief that international equipment providers were better somehow than domestic ones. Obviously, that's changed. Huawei in particular is done very, very well outside of China. In particular, in Europe. Europe is one of their primary markets, and also more increasingly in Africa. And the thing is, I mean, there a lot of people look at Huawei and they say, oh, they're doing well because of Chinese government support. I'm not sure that's the case. I mean, there might be something going on in the background, but if you look at just from a purely kind of market and kind of business perspective, there's a very good reason that Huawei is so competitive. They're able to provide equipment and service and after-sales service at a quality that's at the same or higher of their competitors at a lower price, and that's really what it comes down to. And so, one of the reasons that you do see so much adoption in Europe, for example, is exactly that. They're able to provide great products at a great price with amazing service. And so when it comes to the United States, well, I mean, basically the Trump administration, I think, was just kind of heading off what could have been greater expansion of Huawei into the United States. And so just very clearly saying, you know, we're just not going to allow any Chinese telecommunications maker in the U.S. Because, you know, if we were to follow kind of market forces and the traditional laissez-faire attitude that the American government has had towards business, it would make sense that at some point Huawei would enter the market. But now, obviously, that they just can't.
So how does it play into the ongoing struggle, the battle to dominate a global market for 5G technology? Australia was the first country to announce it would block Huawei from developing 5G networks in August of 2018. Last month, Boris Johnson's government in the UK announced Huawei must remove its 5G equipment by the year 2027. But in June this year, the US Department of Commerce ruled that American companies would be allowed to work with Huawei on setting global standards for 5G networks. So if Huawei can't use any U.S.-made semiconductors, Where does that leave its ambitions for 5G?
Well, again, I mean, like it's a real hamstring for Huawei. So if they can't, if they don't have access to these to this U.S. Intellectual property, then it's again, it's very, very difficult to see how well they're going to how they're actually going to be able to get around this. I mean, Huawei is an extremely resilient company. I mean, their entire philosophy, the entire company is kind of organized around militaristic principles. And a lot of times, you know, they a lot of people, they look at Huawei and, you know, one of a large part of their kind of external and internal messaging is their wolf culture. And a lot of people kind of misinterpret that, saying, oh, okay, so a wolf culture means that they're extremely aggressive. And, you know, they don't really think about the individual, which is kind of true in a certain sense. But really what the wolf culture means for them is that they operate in a pack. And the entire company is a pack of wolves. And what do a pack of wolves do? In dangerous times, they come closer together and they work harder. And they make sure that they can survive. So right now things are bad, but they're going to do whatever they have to do to survive, to make sure that when opportunities for growth come around, they're able to take advantage of those and take advantage of those extremely aggressively. So, you know, it's hard to imagine a scenario where Huawei gives up in all of this. It's hard to imagine a scenario where Huawei, you know, just kind of gets out of 5G entirely. I mean, they started off as a telecommunications company, and they've since branched out into, you know, consumer hardware and also enterprise network hardware. But I mean, at the core, they are a telecommunications company. They've even set the standards on 5G, both in terms of the telecommunications equipment itself and the radios inside of a phone. So, you know, the idea that Huawei is somehow down and out and all this doesn't really jive with kind of expectation. Now, I mean, I think that given kind of all the chaos and uncertainty that we've had in the last, you know, 6 months to a year, you know, I mean, expect anything at this point. But it's still, I think that, you know, we're still kind of really just trying to understand what this all means. And I'm not even sure if the Trump administration really understands what it means. Basically, all they really care about is just making sure that that Huawei is not in the game anymore. But I think also broadly speaking, I think this also raises some really big questions for the telecommunications industry as a whole. As I said, you know, Huawei has been a leader in setting the standards on 5G. I'm pretty sure that they're working on 6G standards as well. And so, you know, this elephant in the room is suddenly no longer playing in the game. What does that mean? I mean, like, there are obviously other telecommunications equipment providers, but there's none that have been as successful in pushing forward this technology. So, you know, it's really difficult to see how this is going to go, and also disappointing if you know this technology does get delayed because of this.
If this really is an existential threat for Huawei's global dominance, is there an option to focus just on the market in China? And if that U.S.-China trade war has led to the Beijing central government turning inwards for its economic development, could Huawei do the same?
I mean, domestically, there's a huge market. So as I mentioned before, when Huawei and ZTE first got started, they had to rely on international markets because, telecoms providers in China just did not trust homegrown tech at that point. Now it's not only is it the trust issue is not there, but it's also one of national pride, I think, and kind of domestic supporting domestic companies as well. I mean, Huawei is, you know, very much a banner company. I think it's a point of pride for the Chinese nation, how well Huawei does. But also, as we can see from, you know, the various plans and policies coming from the central government, I mean, technology is a huge, huge part of the next 10 to 25 years for China. And 5G is a huge part of that as well. But the issue isn't so much about on the demand side, as you mentioned before, it's really on the supply side. So unless Huawei can figure out a way to really make 5G technology, it doesn't really matter what the policies are. But if they can do that, if they have a solution to that, if there is some way they can cope and still make the things that power the 5G networks, then, I mean, China is definitely going to be a huge market for them.
China is a huge market, and the chips may be down for Huawei, but it's definitely not out of the game yet. John Artman and a tech team at the SCMP are filing constant updates on this story at scmp.com, and our colleagues in Vancouver, Shenzhen, Washington, London, and here in Hong Kong are also filing analysis and features on the Huawei story. Thank you for listening to this edition of Inside China. Thank you for reviews, thank you for sharing, and yes, thank you for comments on YouTube. My name is Mimi Lau. I'll see you next week with our Inside China podcast.
For more podcasts from the South China Morning Post, head to scmp.com, where you can hear more about technology, trade, culture, and society.